As we gather here today, I don't think I would get any argument from anyone to say, or from anyone when I say, this is a time in which we need to be strong. There's a lot of turmoil in the world today, a lot of problems associated with this coronavirus, and a lot of assumptions that are made, and a lot of edicts that are going out that have people afraid. And there's a lot to be afraid of. But we should never, ever be afraid to serve God and do His will. Our text this morning, as we talk about being strong, is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. We know that the Apostle Paul is writing as directed by the Spirit, writing to this young preacher who would face adversity in his life. Paul himself having faced adversity and would continue to do so, and ultimately give his life for the cause of Christ. As Timothy was being written to, this was recorded for us. This was preserved for us by the Lord so that we might have it, so we also could be strong. These words that we find here are, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. There's a great deal of angst right now, and a good many of people are needing strength in a lot of areas. I have talked to a number of people through the week since we last met, and some are voicing their opinions that they need strength because they are spending much more time with family and in much closer proximity with family than ever before. Years ago, when talking about the American family and how it has transitioned in the past few years, Linda spoke and said one thing that could be done that would just almost ruin the American family is if all of their electronic devices just all of a sudden went dead and they had to talk. Well, their electronic devices are not dead, but now they are being sheltered, a shelter in place, they call it, and many people are, as one news reporter put it, at each other's throats. There are many, many reasons for which we need to be strong. Many are looking at bleak times from an economic standpoint, the cessation of jobs, the diminishing wages, and things like this, and they're wondering, how can I continue to remain strong when my resources are drying up? And yes, that's a cause for some worry. I could spend a great deal of time talking about the many areas in which we need to be strong in times such as these, but I'd rather spend our time here today speaking about the need to be strong in all kinds of times. The area in which I'm talking about is to be strong spiritually, in good times, in bad times. We are to be faithful to God in every situation. Timothy would need to be strong. And the advice that he received from the Spirit through the pen of Paul is advice that we also can use in our service to God. In fact, advice that we need in these present perilous times. Now, while it's likely true that we won't face all the same difficulties, trials, tribulations that Timothy or Paul or others in the first century of the church will face, we definitely are going to face some of them. We are facing the threat of death. It is abundant within our country, and in some communities it has just ravaged the community. But yet we still need to be strong. And so let's take a look at Timothy. Let's look at him as an example and see how this advice to Timothy that constitutes our text can help us be strong. First, let us be reminded of the fact that Timothy was going to face difficulties. Now, sometimes when a preacher gets up to preach, I've even had people say to me, you use way too many scriptures. I don't think you can do that. But maybe I don't give enough time for people to find scriptures, and it's difficult. A person's not familiar with the Bible, by the time I'm through reading a scripture, I moved on to the next one. They're saying, well, what did he just say? Where am I supposed to look now? And it causes some difficulties. I'm not going to do that today, because all of the passages that I talked to you about in this first part of the sermon are from 1 Timothy. So, 1 Timothy, we see that Timothy was going to face difficulties. First and foremost, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Timothy would face the difficulties associated with false doctrines. This is something that has not changed from the beginning of the church. Anything that is taught, anything that is held as doctrine, that is contrary to the Word of God, is false. And so all doctrines that are not the doctrine of Christ are false doctrine. If you remember, and not referencing, not turning to Galatians chapter 1, you'll see that he cautioned them about turning from the doctrine of Christ. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul was writing, reminding Timothy of the things that he had asked him to do, and we have it as a record for us. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. In other words, they were not to teach anything other than what had been delivered by the Spirit for their edification, for their benefit, and for their salvation. And in verse 4, he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. As we come in contact with people today who are embracing false doctrine, we are not to allow them to teach such things. We ourselves are not to teach such things. And we are not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. But we are to remain firm. We're to remain strong, because only the doctrine of Christ is that which will lead us and help us to maintain our salvation. Timothy was going to face difficulties in the area of warfare. Have you ever stopped and contemplated that every Christian is a soldier? Now, I never was a soldier. As you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, I chose not to enter into the military situation because when I was in high school, I had already determined that I was going to go into the Navy. I had a good friend that was a year or so older than me, and he went into the Navy right out of high school. He listened to the promises they made and signed up, took the physical, and took off for basic training. He comes back and he finds me and he says, have you signed up yet? And I says, no, I was going to take care of that in the next few weeks. He said, don't. I said, why? He said, everything they told me, I'm not in that program. Now, I don't know if he had the capability for it or not. There may be other things into it. But I'm not in that particular area of the service that I wanted to be in. He wanted to be in the Navy, but he wanted to do a specific thing. And I have finished my basic training, and they're shipping me to, and I can't remember where it was, but it was awfully cold to be there. And so I chose not. However, I am so thankful that not long after that, I was able to become a soldier in the Lord's army. This is what is being said to Timothy in this particular passage. It is the same thing that affects every Christian. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou mightest by them, or by these prophecies, these things that were taught before him, that thou mightest war a good warfare. We, every one of us, are going to face difficulties if we remain faithful soldiers of Christ in the Lord's army. The little song that the women teach our young people sometimes, I'm in the Lord's army, they like that one because they like to do the plane. They like to do the firing off the artillery and that sort of thing. But it's a very serious thing. We are in a war and we're going to face difficulties. And those difficulties sometimes will cause people to be pulled away if they're not strong. And we, as Christians, fighting against principalities, against powers, against those things which war against God, we're going to need to be strong. During that warfare, we'll see that some will depart from the faith. One of the saddest things is for one to take on the responsibility of fighting in the war. And then when the time comes to turn from the battle, to flee, to be a deserter. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, we'll see that this is the situation. This is the case. There are going to be those who depart from the faith, and sometimes There's nothing that we can do about it. When it comes down to it, every person serves by choice. Voluntary. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? The Lord's army is a total volunteer army. Nobody was drafted. Nobody was forced. But there were going to be departures from the faith. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. We've already spoken about false doctrines. Doctrines of devils would always be false. But sometimes people would be enticed to think, well, I'll go over here and I'll serve with this group. I'll follow what they teach. When they depart from the faith, they depart from serving God. And that is a difficulty because that person has influence on other people. Sometimes they will lead even their own families, whole families, away from the truth. In addition to this, we'll see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11, that Timothy had to deal with unruly widows. And you say, well, I don't, what do you mean he had to deal with unruly widows? Anytime you deal with people and they are unruly, it's a difficulty. It's a hardship. And this is what was happening then in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. In other words, they will allow themselves to be pulled away from the Lord by their physical desire to remarry, to find someone to support them, to grow old with them, and that causes difficulties. Anytime and for any reason when one is pulled away from serving God faithfully, it's a difficulty. It's a difficulty to the local congregation. It's a heartbreak to his brothers and sisters in Christ. As sad as it may be, Timothy even had to deal with sinning elders. As we look at 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 and 20, we see passages that will tell us that an elder may be rebuked if he's in the wrong. And it's a difficult thing to do. There are those who have the misconception that the elder is the head of the church. He's not. And first and foremost, there have to be plural elders. Secondly, Christ is the head of the church, and the elders are members of the local congregation. They're not to lord it over them, over the congregation, the fact that they are elders. But notice the admonition to Timothy here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. He said, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. It doesn't mean, and it doesn't say, that there is not to be ever be an accusation or someone coming to them with a problem, because elders are people. They are men within the church, men who meet certain qualifications. And yes, because they are human, they sin. But when they sin, and when any Christian sins or when any person sins, the situation needs to be addressed and addressed properly. But notice verse 20. When it is shown, when it is proved, even though it causes difficulty, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Somebody might say, well, you know, the preacher, he's not going to take anything to the elders. He's not going to stand up against the elders because he'll lose his job. Sometimes that's the case. And sometimes the preacher has to move on. But we hope that's not ever the case when the preacher's standing for the truth. But it does happen. In that particular situation, remember, them that sin rebuke before all. That which is the standard is the Word of God, and anybody that breaks the Word of God is sinning. And is it going to cause difficulty? No doubt about it. What was he to do about it? He was to command, and he was to teach. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, even though Timothy was young, even though some might look at him and say, you know, you're just a young man. You haven't learned everything yet. You haven't experienced life. I always had trouble with that. I went to get a job. Just a very young fellow. Still in school. But I saw the need for a job because I saw the need for a vehicle, and I couldn't get a vehicle unless I had money, and I couldn't get money unless I had a job. And I went to a place and applied for the job, and he said, well, we'd love to hire you, but you don't have any experience. And I said to the man, that's your fault. He said, why? I said, because you won't hire me. And if you hire me, I'll have experience. He said, I can't argue with that. I got the job. And it worked out. I was glad to have the job. But because I was young, because I had no experience, he said, no, you can't do this. Sometimes people think just because Timothy was young, maybe they would look at him improperly. And this would cause difficulties. In the verse 11 and 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In other words, talk the talk and walk the walk. It doesn't matter how old you are. You don't have to be a wise old sage to be a teacher of the gospel. You don't even have to look old. I was hoping I'd get an amen there, but I didn't. All right. Now, command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Notice this, in word, in conversation, which is manner of life, in charity, love that you show toward them, in spirit, the attitude that you have, in faith, remaining in the word, and in purity, the life that you live before them as well. All of these things were an example in the life of even a young preacher like Timothy. And because of these things, he was going to face difficulties. Now I want you to move over to the second letter to Timothy, written again by the pen of Paul, as directed by the Spirit. And the next passages that we look into will be about those situations that are found in 2 Timothy. He was going to face difficulty which would cause tears. You ever been so frustrated with a situation that you cried? I was told from the time I could remember, boys don't cry. Yes, they do. And sometimes frustrations. Sometimes because of difficulties. Sometimes because of pain. Oh, I know we've all been told, shake it off. Be a man. Be strong. My response to that was, it hurts. But sometimes things that don't affect us physically affect us mentally, affect us in our minds. Notice that there were tears. And when you hear someone else and you hear about their tears and you see them crying, it is difficult. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, as the apostle Paul was directed to write, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul was told here by the Spirit that Timothy was having difficulties to the point of tears. And what are those tears caused from? Well, sometimes fear. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, we see that some things we're not to be afraid of. Some things are not to cause us to cry. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. We all need not fear anything. In our discussions between services, we were talking about some who would not come out, some who would not gather because the governor in their particular state has instilled in them fear. And we're going to take your license plate down. And then when you come out of services or when we send you the notice, you're going to have to self-quarantine for 14 days. Well, I thought we were doing that already. Write me up. We're not to fear the things which we need not fear. We do have, however, the need to endure. No matter what comes upon us, as a soldier in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the things that come upon us, we are to endure these things. We have a mission. We have a battle to fight. We have wars in which we are involved. And a soldier is used as an example here. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When we, quote unquote, signed on, when we obeyed the gospel, we became children of God, joint heirs with Christ. When we enlisted in the Lord's army, we made a commitment that regardless of how the battle went, we were going to stay and fight. And we are to endure. Oftentimes, things come from every front, every direction. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. As the Apostle Paul was being directed to write, we see that as we endure, we have no need for fear. He says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." It is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." We must endure. It's hard sometimes. Evil is growing worse and worse. There in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, we see that evil is growing worse and worse. We oftentimes look out on our society, especially when you're watching the news and you find out that a community just south of us, Charlotte, and one particular year we were watching and they said, "We have just been informed that Charlotte has its 100th homicide for the year." Yeah, it's a rough world we live in, and evil abounds. Of course, evil has always been with us. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We've been living in the last days now for over 1900 years, and it's been perilous times. Wickedness, evilness is there. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 13, we see about the evil, and we see the fact that it will become worse and worse. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, not caring about God, not worrying about if they are serving God, and it makes life difficult for the Christian." And what is the Christian to do about it? Be strong, just like Timothy was to be strong. We are to continue doing the work. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, an excellent example is placed before him. Commandment is placed before him, an admonition. "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That in season and out of season means when it's convenient, when it's inconvenient. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. We can look up all these words and we can see what they are. We're to do so with all longsuffering and with doctrine, with the word of God. When we preach, it is always to be the word of God. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they turn or heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." They'll turn to telling stories and calling it religion. So what was he told in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5? "But watch thou in all things." While we're doing the work of the Lord, we are to continue to watch. Watch for his return. Watch for opportunities to serve. Watch for opportunities to reach out to those who are looking for the truth. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. This is what Timothy was told. But then how was Timothy to remain strong? Perhaps some of these also can help us. These are in 2 Timothy as well. We see in verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 6, that Timothy was to stir up the gift. We know that Timothy had the Apostle Paul's hands laid upon him, no doubt some sort of spiritual gift imparted to him as was needed for him to continue the work. But we are to stir up what's within us as well. That particular passage reads, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." We also have that which needs to be stirred up, that which we need to remember. If we remember the Word of God, we will most likely continue to be strong and to serve Him. Oftentimes the psalmist was directed to write that his strength came from God's Word. We're not to have shame. Timothy was not to have shame, as we've already read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We ought to boldly stand up even in the face of adversity and say, "Yes, I am a member of the Lord's church, and yes, I am serving Him faithfully, and yes, I will continue to do so regardless of what you do to me." We're not to fear them that can destroy the body, but fear Him rather that can destroy the body and soul in hell. While we're doing these things, we are to hold fast. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us that to which we are to hold. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." The words delivered to Paul and handed down to Timothy were the words of the Spirit, just as if we were to open our Bibles and read. The words of the Spirit are printed there upon that page, and we're to hold fast to these things. What are we to do with them? We are to teach them to others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We see that as they are to teach others, we find strength in this, the means to be strong. If you want to be stronger in the truth, learn the truth to the point that you can teach it to people, and then teach it to people. And when people have questions, it will cause you to go back and read and study. We'll get to study in just a minute. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." That is how the Word of God is perpetual in its spreading. I teach two people, and they go out and teach two people, and they go out, each of them teach two people, and you all can do the math. The Word of God spreads all over the land. In fact, that's why it could be said by the Apostle Paul, as the Spirit gave him direction, which was preached unto every creature under heaven. That gospel still needs to be taught. And if we teach others, we will remain strong. We'll stay in the Word. We'll stay prepared. How do we do that? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us. We're to study. How many people really study the Bible? Really study. I think a lot of people might read. There is an article somewhere that I read recently, and I know it's true because it was on the internet. It says that right now, the largest selling book in America is the Bible. Well, why not 18 months ago? Because people are looking to the Bible, and looking to God during this particular time. Well, if they buy a Bible and they read it, and they perhaps need to be asked the question that Philip asked the eunuch, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" We have to study it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Looking at it, looking at the context, reading the things that are in their context, so we have a better understanding of what's being said in each area of the Bible, and using it to prepare ourselves. We think, well, why would somebody like Paul need to study? Why would somebody like Timothy need to study? Well, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. We see that as he was writing to Timothy in this second letter, he said, "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Those things which had been written down that needed to be gone over again. It's amazing to me how that when people think that they get to a certain age, they can't learn, they can't remember, they can't recall. Well, you can if you work at it. A lot of attention is being drawn toward taking some sort of supplement that will help your mind. What will help your mind when it comes to the Bible is staying in it, studying, learning. At 75 years old, not months before my father-in-law passed from this life, I happened to walk into his study. He was sitting there. I thought he was praying. He had his head bowed. He had the Bible open in front of him. And he was sitting in such a way that I thought, well, maybe he's praying. I'll sit there and be quiet a minute. And then I saw his lips moving. And I thought, well, he's praying. And then he looked up and said, what can I do for you? I said, well, I didn't want to interrupt you. What are you doing? He said, I'm re-memorizing these passages. I said, re-memorizing? You already memorized them once. He said, yes, son, but if you don't stay in the Word, you will lose the Word. You've got to stay in it. He continually read and studied, and that's what we are to do, because we are going to face difficulties. We also see in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, we're to move. One of the things that people tell me is that as you get older, you need to keep moving. Well, I do, just not as fast, not as far as I used to. But in all seriousness, as Christians, as we face difficulties, as we want to remain strong, we need to move. Timothy, in this particular place, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. What was he saying? He was saying, move yourself away from those things which are problematic, those youthful lusts. But move yourselves toward or follow righteousness, that which is found in the Word of God. Then you will have faith. Follow after charity or love and peace. And do it with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And yes, we will be strengthened together that way. And we are to continue. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. These words that had been given to him, had been directing him, were delivered to him by and large by the Apostle Paul, as the Apostle Paul delivered or received them from the Spirit. And of course, he was to continue in those things, in that instruction that he had received. And we are to work. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. We've already read this passage. We looked previously at another aspect of it. But we see now here, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and underline this, do the work of an evangelist. Who are evangelists? Every person who is a child of God is to be an evangelist. We are to take the word to people. And if we're going to be strong, we're going to need to work. Work at being strong. And then taking that strength and applying it to the ministry. And then we are also to serve. Every Christian is also, in addition to being a soldier, is also a servant. Every one of us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9, notice Paul's desire for Timothy to come to him. But notice the way in which the Spirit had him tell Timothy to come to him. Do thy diligence. In other words, put forth an effort to come to me. Why? Because Paul would be strengthened by Timothy's presence. Timothy would be strengthened by Paul's presence. They both would be strengthened by the Word of God and their labor together, a labor of love, reaching out to those who are lost, reaching out to those who are in error, reaching out to those who, because of fear, had stumbled and fallen. Oh, yes, we need to be strong. As we face the difficulties associated with this present time, we need to be strong. There are some Christians who unfortunately will stumble and fall during this time because of the difficulties, because of fear, because of the alarm that is being created among people. What are we to do about it? We are to be strong. So as opportunity presents itself, we can serve God. We can do the Lord's will. We can reach out to those people. We can do everything we can to keep them from losing their salvation. It is important to realize also that as children of God that we are to take the message of God, including the plan of salvation, to others, and we need to know what that plan is. looking out upon this particular small gathering of people today, I say that all of us have obeyed the gospel. We're all children of God. And so I'm not going to present the invitation except to remind us of some scriptures associated with each phase of it until I get to the part that applies to absolutely every one of us in our present state. We're to hear the word of God, Romans 10:14, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews 11:6, repenting of sins, Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is important in all phases of our service and faithfulness to God. We're to confess before men, Romans 10:9-10, and yes, be baptized, and every one of us have. And then, as children of God, as we're strong, we are to remain faithful unto death. You know, previously we sang that song, "The Lord has been mindful of me." Stop and think about all that the Lord has done for us. And we think, well, yeah, I mean, he's blessed us in a few ways. No, he's blessed us in every way. He gave his son to die on Calvary's cross. He provided the means for salvation. He provided the means whereby the word of that salvation would be preached to others. And he provided for us his word in written form. The Lord has truly been mindful of me. How are we going to be mindful to him? One way is to be strong. As a child of God, we are to live faithfully until death. That means being strong from the time we make the commitment, from the time we become part of the Lord's army, the family of God, a child of God, an heir of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we see, "For if after they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." Verse 21 says, "For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Perhaps you're here today as a child of God, and you've allowed yourself not to be strong. You have taken the choice to allow yourselves to stumble, to fall. Listen, if you're strong, you're not going to stumble. You're not going to fall. You may very well stumble, but you will very quickly right yourself in accordance to God's word. If one is a Christian and has allowed sin to come into their lives, they do have opportunity while here on this earth, while living and breathing, to return to God, but only in accordance to his plan. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we see what it is. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Perhaps the sin that is in your life, if you need to respond, is one of a private nature. You may do that sitting at your seat, standing there singing the song, or between now and the time the invitation itself is presented, or even at your own home. But if it's of a public nature, and it's brought sin and reproach against the church, then it needs to be taken care of in a public manner. As we stand and sing the invitation song, it is very fitting that we sing this particular song for those who want to return to a proper relationship, a covenant relationship with God, is to trust and obey. If you're subject to that part of the invitation and you need to respond, do so now as together we stand and sing.